Well, folks, it's great to be here tonight, isn't it? And it's great to be saved. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful I'm saved. And I often think, coming into church, where would I be tonight if the Lord hadn't saved me? Where would you be tonight if the Lord hadn't saved you? But it's great to sense His presence, and it's great to be here. And I want to thank Pastor Galanders for asking me along to share God's word. And I was here a few months ago giving my testimony. And it's great indeed to share the gospel tonight. And I was round the doors yesterday trying to get people to come and out round the shop. So if you're here tonight for the first time, I want to thank you for coming. And pray tonight that you'll be encouraged by the reading of the scriptures. And pray tonight, if you're not saved, this would be the night that you come to know my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So will you turn tonight to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and we'll begin reading at the verse 32. And tonight, for a few minutes, I want to speak about a man that went from prison to paradise in the same day. The man that went from prison to paradise on the same day. Luke chapter 23, beginning at the verse 32. It's great to sense the Lord's presence amongst us. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew: "This is the King of the Jews." Verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And may the Lord tonight add a blessing to the reading of his word. As a way of introduction tonight, folks, I want you to notice from our reading the key players surrounding Christ as he was crucified on the cross. Firstly, there was the respected majority, we are told, that the people stood beholding. There was the religious leaders, they shouted, "He saved others, let him save himself." There was the Roman soldiers, we are told, that they mocked him. And there was the railing thief who shouted, "Save thyself and us." But there was the repentant thief, who I want to look at tonight briefly and present some pictures to you in the gospel. Throughout history, people have always been fascinated by the last words of dying men and women. Whether they be famous politicians, musicians, artists, reformers, or film stars, their last recorded words are important for some. But never, never has there been such words uttered from a dying man that has brought such hope to men and women than the dying words, the last words of the dying thief. Millions have cried the famous words, "Lord, remember me," and they have found peace for their souls. Here is a dying man tonight in our story who was beyond death row, who thought that all hope was gone. He was in the midst of his execution. His life was slipping away. And then he met the Savior of mankind on the cross. What a beautiful story this is tonight. And maybe you're here in this church and you're afraid of dying. Maybe you're here and you're uncertain of the future. Maybe you're here and your time is short. Maybe you wonder about eternity. Well, come with me for a few minutes in your imagination to the cross some 2,000 years ago as we see how a dying man met the Saviour of the world. So if you're taking notes tonight, the first thing I want you to notice is that this man perceived his own condition. This man perceived his own condition. To state the obvious, he knew he was a dying man. He knew he was a dying man. He was caught and captured for his crime, and he ended up on the cross. Maybe he was a member of a gang. Maybe he did some terrible robbery. Maybe he was easy led. We're not sure, but his sin found him out. And you see, your sin always finds you out. And if you're sinning tonight, your sin will find you out. He knew his time was slipping away, and he was going to face the judgment of God. And if you're not saved tonight, you will face the judgment of God. Listen to Hebrews 9 and 27. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this comes the judgment. And you know, we have something in common with this man tonight. We are dying also. Each one of us are dying also. And us men realize that every morning when we look at ourselves in the mirror. Isn't that right, brethren? We see the hair going grey or the hair falling out. We see the hips and the knees getting stiff. We see ourselves having to take more tablets. You women are the same before you put the makeup on in the morning. Those extra wrinkles. Having to go to the hairdressers to hide the grey hairs. We don't like to think about it. But we are dying daily. This man in our story tonight knew that within ours, his life was over. And your life is so short, isn't it? The days, the weeks, the months, the years, they all go past so quick. Let me ask you tonight, friend, how many years have you lived without Christ? How many years? 30, 40, 50, 60 years and you're still not saved? I led a man to the Lord last week, 85 years of age. George Rosbottom went to the Church of Ireland all his life. Was never saved. And I was telling their brother Billy, the last three Friday nights I've been with Dan, men in the hospital, pointing them to Christ. Lived their lives without the Saviour. Went to church every week. Is that you? Do you come to this church every week and you're still not saved? Oh, friend, get saved tonight and settle it once and for all. How many opportunities have you been given to repent? How many times have you left a gospel meeting and you're still not saved? Many people live their lives and never think about the afterlife and never think, where will I spend eternity? The Bible says it's heaven, friend, or hell. Heaven or hell. Not only was he a dying man, but he was a discerning man. He prayed to receive forgiveness. Somehow on the cross, he came to realize certain truths about himself and Jesus. Firstly, he discerned Jesus was innocent and he was guilty. Look at verse 41 tonight of our chapter. Look at verse 41. He states to the other thief, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man," talking of Christ, "has done nothing amiss." No wonder the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And this dying man realized that Jesus was sinless, that he was spotless, and he was a Savior who could rescue him from his eternal punishment. Folks, is that not what salvation is all about tonight? Us realizing that we are guilty sinners and that Christ was God's substitute who took our place. What did old William Cowper pen in 1779? Listen to old Cowper. "There is a fountain, hallelujah, filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains." Listen, the dying thief There we have it. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Isn't he a wonderful Saviour tonight, friends? Isn't he a wonderful Saviour? Isn't it great to be washed tonight in precious blood? It's great to be filled with the Holy Ghost and on your way to heaven. The wee Scotch woman said, it's better felt than telt, this salvation that we have. When reading about old Cowper, it was interesting to read that he tried to take his life three times, this man that wrote this hymn. He suffered depression. He was even institutionalized for 2 years. But he was very much inspired and of a sound mind when he wrote those beautiful words. You can have it tonight. You can have your sins forgiven. You can have a clean slate. What a gospel. Christ came into the world to save sinners. It's great to be saved. It's great to be washed in precious blood. Not only to discern that Jesus was innocent and he was guilty, but he discerned that Christ could save him and forgive him. Yes, he was a dying man. He was a discerning man. But he was also now a decided man. He was a decided man. I wonder, in this church tonight, is there a decided man? Is there a decided woman? Is there a decided young person who will say, tonight's the night I'm going to get saved. I'm not going to put it off any longer. Tonight's the night I'm going to get saved. I never forget putting Where Will You Spend Eternity leaflets into the new houses in the Donegal Road in Ebor Street where I live. And people had been waiting 3 years to get into these new houses. I went round the day before with the tracks. The next night an ambulance was at the door of one of the new houses. A man, 43 years of age, took a massive stroke and died. That man got his opportunity. I went round the next day and the track was sitting in the hallway. And I said to his wee son, Andrew, did your daddy read the leaflet? He says, I don't know. There's a story told of a man who was always complaining to his godly mother about getting gospel leaflets. And he said to his mother, is there anywhere I can go where I'll not get one of these leaflets? Everywhere I go, there's these gospel leaflets. And the old lady with tears in her eyes said, there is somewhere you can go where there'll be no gospel leaflets. And she said, hell. Isn't that powerful? But no witness there. But no worship there. I was in East Belfast recently taking a gospel meeting. And the wee woman on the Newton Arch Road said to me, I've got 5 of those gospel leaflets already. I said, if you get another one, you'll win a holiday. She says, where to? I said, Port of Oge. I said, my sister's a spare room down there. But that wee woman collects gospel leaflets, but she never reads them. I know people like that. Collects gospel leaflets, but never reads them. Question for you to think about. What was it that made this man cry out to Jesus on the cross? Why did he change his mind? Was it the way Jesus asked his father to forgive the soldiers? Was it the sign over the cross, this is the King of the Jews? Or even had he heard how Jesus had forgiven others of their sins and he wanted forgiven also? But whatever it was, friends, he realized that Jesus was no ordinary man and that Jesus was his only hope. And that's the same for all of us here tonight when we come to face our final breaths. Jesus is our only hope. Think about it tonight. There are men, there are women, there are young people in hospices and hospitals dying. And what hope have many of them got? Their money, their possessions, their cars, their shares, their education, and holiday homes are of no value. All must realize tonight that without Jesus, they are lost. Without Christ tonight, you're lost, friend. And think of these people in the hospitals tonight, many dying. And what hope have many of them got? The thief cries out in verse 42 of her chapter. Look at verse 42 tonight. Can you see this man crying from the depths of his heart? Verse 42, he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I never forget, friends, about a year ago, getting a phone call to go to the Royal Victoria Hospital. to visit a man, Ari Callaghan, 63 years of age. This man had lived his life without Christ. And I went in and took him by the hand. And I said, Ari, cry like the damned thief. Lord, remember me. That man took my hand and he cried for mercy. That was on the Monday. He was dead by the Tuesday. That's the reality of life. The Bible says there is a step between life and death. One step. This man also discerned Jesus had a kingdom. Dying men don't have a kingdom, do they? But Jesus has a kingdom. In Jesus, he saw resurrection. When I go to Dublin to share the gospel, the men down there, they say, there's wee Paisley down from the north to torment us all. I've a new name down there, wee Paisley. And a wee man from the Legion of Mary said to me the other day, will you be celebrating the Easter rising? He said, the only rising I'll be celebrating is Christ rose from the dead. Amen. Glory to God. Think about it, friends, tonight. If we're saved in this meeting, we're going to a place where there's no more pain, no more sickness, no more teeth falling out, no more doctor's appointments, no more tablets, no more evil. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place, isn't it? Are you going to be with us, friend? Are you going to be with us in heaven? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Heaven's going to be wonderful. And I often say, when I get there and get a new body, I might even be 6 foot. It's going to be wonderful, isn't it? And the wee woman in the Shankill Road, about 20 stones, she says, I might be a size 10, love. But listen, it's going to be wonderful, isn't it? Just to remind you tonight, brothers and sisters, if you're saved in this meeting, no amount of money can give us what we have tonight. We have eternal life. We have our sins forgiven, and we're on our way to glory. Our names might not be in the Belfast Telegraph, but our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's the greatest thing in the world. But God's people say amen tonight. Amen. Oh, it's lovely. He's a wonderful Saviour, and I love him. Not ashamed to tell you that tonight. I love him from the depths of my heart. I know some people on the Donegal Road, where I live, who buy the Belfast Telegraph just to see who's dead. Anybody like that in Rathcoole? I couldn't care less who's dead tonight, as long as my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Just a reminder for you tonight. This kingdom that we've been singing about is for members only. It's for members only. I never forget, a couple of years ago, met a man, Desi Grundle, on Queen Street in Belfast, down there where the athletic stores is. This man said to me, John, I'm afraid of dying. Roman Catholic man. And this man got on his knees with me in the middle of the street and accepted the Lord as his Saviour. And I rang him the other night and he's doing well. Then a few days later, I was in Lisburn. And I met a man, Kenneth Coyne, and he was on his way to the bookies to do a bet for the Grand National. And I showed him Mark 8:36, where the Lord says, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That man, Kenneth, came to church with me and he heard the gospel. And his daughter had been praying for him, but he didn't get saved. Why do I tell you this, friends, tonight? Because Desi accepted, but Kenneth rejected. Same with the two thieves on the cross. One accepted and one rejected. It's sad to think there will be people not in heaven who sat in churches for years, who sat in gospel meetings just like this, who went to Sunday school, who had godly mothers and fathers, who knew Bible verses, who lived on the clean side of the street, but never accepted Christ like this thief tonight. Please don't be one of them. Don't be one of them. The other thief, he saw everything that went on, but for him it wasn't enough. He started the day in prison and ended it in hell. Isn't that powerful? He saw everything that went on, but he started the day in prison and ended it in hell. Willie Mullen used to say, get to the cross and you're near home. Friend, come to the cross tonight and you're near home. These two men were beside the Saviour as he bled for the sins of the world. And never did they imagine that growing up in their lives, this is the way their lives would end. And none of us knows tonight how our lives are going to end. This man's deathbed, think about it, was a cross. This man's deathbed was a cross. You ever think when you attend a funeral that one day that will be me? I took a meeting there about 3 months ago in Carrickfergus, and a man came in. Didn't get saved that night. Got a phone call about a week later. He was in the Mater Hospital. I led him to the Lord in the hospital, and his funeral was 2 Saturdays ago. Went to the Methodist Church all his life. Was never saved. There's no excuses on deathbeds, friends. Yesterday when I was out rapping doors, got a bit of abuse, you know what it's like. But there's no excuses then. One wee man said yesterday, "You woke me up out of my sleep." I said, "That's my job, to wake people up out of their sleep." He says, "You need to be saved. You need to be born again of the Spirit of the living God." Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Are you born again tonight, friend? It's the greatest thing in the world. Our brother prayed to be a new creation. It's absolutely wonderful. Jesus, on the other hand, he knew that he was born for this moment. You see, beyond the manger, there stood a cross. Beyond the manger, there stood a cross. We can sense his presence here tonight. Feel the stillness in this church. Not only did the repentant thief in our story perceive his own condition, and he prayed to receive forgiveness, but notice how he was pardoned by the Lord. Yes, he was a dying man. He was a discerning man. He was a decided man. But now, friends, he's a delivered man. He's a delivered man. Look at verse 43 of our chapter. Verse 43. "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today you shall be with me in paradise." The thief met his Savior hanging beside him. Mercy was on the middle cross. Isn't that lovely? Mercy was on the middle cross. What a day for this man. He started the day in prison, and he ended it in paradise. I remember the night I was pardoned by the Lord Jesus Christ, around 10 years ago now. And my life has never been the same. Never hardly in a church growing up. Never in a Sunday school. Didn't even own a Bible. And the first night, I can honestly say I heard the gospel preached. I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I started walking the roads and prayed for my family. I asked God to save my mother and my father and my sister and my aunts. And they're all sitting here tonight saved and born again of the Spirit. That's the wonder of the gospel, friends. That's why I'm so passionate about it tonight, and that's why I believe it from the depths of my heart. Christ can change anybody, and he can change you no matter who you are tonight. I nearly jumped there, got that excited. I'll have to get all religious again. But this thief had probably spent most of his life robbing and stealing to become rich. At his death, it was no use to him, but when he found Jesus, he found the pearl of greatest price. Do you remember the night you were saved? Do you remember the night you got on your knees and you cried for mercy as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and you're still here tonight? He's kept you through good times and through bad times. He became a multi-billionaire hanging on a cross. And I don't have much tonight. You're not looking at much of this wee man of 5'4". But I'm a multi-billionaire because Jesus is in my heart. He's put a new song in my mouth. And like the wee drunkard said when given his testimony, he took me out of the mire and he put me into the choir. He's put a new song in my mouth tonight. At one time I used to sing the songs of the world, but it's great tonight to be in his presence singing these wonderful hymns. Question must be asked. Why did God allow the Savior to die between these thieves? Why did God allow the Savior to die between these thieves? Well, first of all, to show that salvation is not by works. Salvation is not by works. What good work could this thief offer Almighty God? His life was ruined. His hope was gone. He simply trusted. Augustus Toplady penned it beautiful in that famous hymn, Rock of Ages. Listen, old Augustus Toplady penned, "Nothing In my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. This poor thief, can you see him? He was clinging to the Lord with all of his heart. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Isn't he wonderful? And secondly, Jesus was crucified between two thieves to demonstrate the beauty of salvation for all to see. Salvation is a beautiful gift of God, offered freely to all who will accept it. Jesus was put to an open shame for all to see. Friend, look at me tonight. Are you saved? Are you saved tonight? Do you know this Jesus that I'm speaking about? Are you right with God? Has the sin question in your life been dealt with? Will you accept this free gift of eternal life tonight? Listen to me. How are you going to face death? It's going to come to us all. How are you going to face death? You can have the Lord in your life tonight. You can have him in your life tonight. As many of you know, before I take meetings all over the country, I like to go out and rap doors. And it's not the people that bother me around the doors, it's the dogs. And any of you that do evangelism, you know what that's like. And I was in Port of Ogie at the time of the election. One big dog nearly ate me alive. It was about twice the size of me. But I got rid of the dog, and the wee man shouted out to me out through the door. He said, "Are you from the DUP?" And I shouted back, "Sir, I'm already elected." And he said, "Where are you representing?" I said, "Heaven." I said, "Will you come to the gospel meeting?" He said, "Clear away off." I looked at that man. I looked into his eyes. And I said, "Sir, don't die without Christ. Don't die without Christ." And I'm saying that to you tonight, sir. Saying that to you tonight, lady. Don't die without Christ. The testimony of this dying thief has been spoken about for 2,000 years. And whoever you are here tonight, God loves you. And Christ died for you. And there is no pit so deep that Christ is not deeper. With all the love in my heart tonight, please come to the Lord. Come to the old rugged cross tonight. And you can be pardoned. And you can be forgiven. As a close, and thank you again for your wonderful attention, I'm often called to see people when they're dying. People will say to me in their deathbeds, "John, where am I going? Have I done enough? How do you make peace with God? How can I be sure?" Well, like tonight, I point them to the cross. And the Bible says, listen to my last words. Whosoever, is that you tonight? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can leave tonight with your sins forgiven. You can leave with a Savior in your heart. And you can leave with a new song on your lips. For the Christian, death, it'll be sudden death, then sudden glory. Sudden death, then sudden glory. And you might say tonight, "What have I got to do to get saved? What have I got to do to get saved?" Let me help you. Listen, first of all, you've got to recognize that you're a sinner. That's the first thing. You've got to recognize that you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, you've got to receive Christ. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name." Thirdly and importantly, you've got to repent from your sins. The Bible says, "Repent and believe the gospel." Fourthly, you've got to remember the blood. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then fifthly, you've got to rejoice. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, come and see me after the meeting. But this could be your last time to hear the gospel. This could be your last time. Maybe you've drifted away. Come back tonight, friend. A footnote to close. If we ever have the privilege of meeting this man in heaven, I think his theme tune around the throne will be the famous words written by Isaac Watts. What are they? Listen. At the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The dying thief saw the light of the world on the cross. Isn't that lovely? The dying thief, he saw the light of the world on the cross. Is there a man here tonight who will say, Lord, remember me? Is there a woman here tonight who will say, Lord, remember me? Is there a young person here tonight who will say, Lord, remember me? And leave this church saved and know that you're right with God. Folks, that's just a few thoughts of a man who started the day in prison and ended it in paradise. You feel the stillness. The Holy Ghost moving here tonight. I believe God's speaking to hearts tonight. There's people here, you don't know if you're saved or not. Oh, friends, settle it tonight. There's one step between life and death. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the sense of your presence here tonight. We thank you for the wonder of the gospel, that you can take a poor sinner and make him into something beautiful. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts tonight. Believe you're speaking to hearts right now. Lord, I pray there is a man here, if there's a woman, young person, and Lord, they're not saved, maybe they're backslidden. I pray that they'll stay behind after the meeting and commit their lives completely to you. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the day and hour. You saved many of us here tonight, and you changed our lives. These things we ask in your precious name.